Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez from Good to Be Social. And today we're going to talk about the importance of storytelling and authenticity when it comes to content marketing. Our host today is Shreya Lay. Shreya is a lawyer human at Lay Roots, an asset protection law firm that helps people protect themselves from stupid lawsuits. Shreya loves being a business owner, talking to people, cooking, and spending time outdoors. Shreya and her husband and partner, Colin, have owned Lay Roots for almost 9 years now and still love it. Welcome to the show, Shreya.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. So before we get started, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself? Like, how did you decide to become a lawyer? You know, what kind of practice have you had before you started your own firm? And, you know, why did you decide to do some content marketing?
Sure. I was an engineer before I went to law school. I went to the University of Texas at Austin and got an engineering degree. Even when I was in school, I kind of missed reading and writing, but I figured I'd try being an actual engineer in the real world before making my final decision. And it's somewhat cliched, or probably was a terrible reason to make a decision, but I remember arguing with my mom at some point, and she was like, "You should just be a lawyer. You love to argue so much."
I heard the same things growing up.
And so I was like, "I will be a lawyer. I will." But, you know, also working as an engineer, I kind of saw people 10, 15 years my senior, they were doing largely the same things that I was doing as a newbie. And I wanted something different. I wanted to be able to work with different types of people and have more ownership over my own career, eventually be a business owner. And so I went to law school. And after law school, I worked in intellectual property. And I graduated from law school in 2010, which was a terrible time to be graduating from law school, as far as timing goes. And so, you know, I kind of got mad. There were a lot of firms out there that they were hurting. So I kind of understand it from their perspective. But their perspective was, well, you're a new lawyer. You can intern with us for some pittance or very small amount of money or no money, and maybe we'll hire you full time, maybe we won't, we'll see. Yeah. And I just got mad about that. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to start my own firm. And it started like that, really. My husband and partner, Colin, he had been a contractor with a number of large national firms, and he kind of wanted to break out on his own as well. We were on a camping trip near the coast in Washington. And I was complaining about my job. And he was like, "You should just do it. You should just go out on your own. I don't want to hear you complain anymore. We can do this."
I love it. That's great. And what about the name Lay Roots? Where does that name come from?
So we went to law school in New Orleans, and we thought about the big oak trees that we really loved that are there. They withstand hurricanes and all sorts of storms and have these amazing root systems. And so that's really where the thought came from, is instead of trying to evoke foundations of buildings, you know, everybody's wanting to lay roots somewhere and have like a strong foundation for their life. And so that's kind of the idea behind it. And it just happens to also sound like our last name.
I love it. What kind of practice do you have today? Like, what kind of things do you guys do?
We work with a lot of business owners. We create trusts for them. So what we do, it's kind of a bridge, or it bridges estate planning and business planning, but it's really its own little niche now. we used to do a bit more of other things, but we've really narrowed our focus over the years, and we really just do this asset protection planning. So it's a lot of creating LLCs or different entities for people who might have real estate holdings, like investments. Maybe they have, you know, their W-2 job as well, and doing this on the side. We create trusts, mostly either hybrid onshore and offshore trusts or fully offshore trusts for people so they can protect themselves if they're in high risk professions. And yeah, that's pretty much all we do.
It's very interesting. Very nice niche. So yeah. Tell me a little bit about, you know, when did you guys decide to do content marketing, and, you know, what kind of things are you doing today when it comes to content marketing?
Sure. We played around with a lot of different media types with our content marketing. We tried blog posts, we've tried podcasts. Now we mostly do videos. We've found that that's something we enjoy doing, and it's been the most successful for us. And we, since we enjoy doing it, we do it more consistently. And so we really mostly do videos. We started down the content marketing path because we just always really loved Seth Godin.
Love Seth Godin.
Really,
yep.
Admired his style and enjoyed his blog posts, his little email blast that he sends out every day. Mm-hmm. And he's really big on that. So we were definitely inspired by him. But also, I always loved writing stories. I was very nerdy. And as a child, I would always write little short stories and, you know, try and present them to my parents for their birthdays or whatever. And I love reading. And so I've always loved stories, and it was great to be able to bring that piece into our firm. And so it was kind of both of those things. And we were inspired by a lot of the brands that we love to buy from, and just tried to really think about why we enjoyed buying from them and what inspired us about them.
Love it. You know, you mentioned storytelling and the importance of being authentic. Tell me a little bit about what that means. What does it mean to be authentic in your mind?
Sure. I think people conflate it sometimes with being honest or TMI, but I don't consider it to be that. I think for us, it was that when we first graduated from law school, or even when we were in law school, there was this stereotype or idea of a lawyer who was very buttoned up and emotionless and just acted or spoke a certain way. And we never felt that we fit with that. And so for us, authenticity is simply being ourselves and some people in our communication. Right? So we're not trying to be overly formal or overly lawyerly or playing to a stereotype that might fit for somebody else, but does not fit for our personalities. Because I think when you try to be someone you're not in those communications, people can sense that, and they can sense that you're not being genuine. And it's also about every aspect that touches our clients or potential clients. So whether that's also in the offerings that we provide to people, I quickly realized it's just not in my nature to do more a la carte services. If people reach out to me and they're confused about something and they want to ask questions, I have a hard time saying no to that. Oh, well, I'm going to have to charge you extra. That's outside of the scope of what we had agreed to. And so instead of trying to change who I am, we changed our pricing to include those types of things. So it's more full service. So really, it's about understanding who we are as people and what we like to communicate to the world, and leaning into that rather than trying to hide those things. And it can be as simple as we do a lot of outdoor activities and we will be upfront with clients and potential clients that we may not be available because we're going backpacking for 5 days in Peru. And we will get back to them as soon as we can.
That's great. And it sets expectations with your clients and it also allows you to live the life you want to live. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. And I think that's so important, right? Because anyone who is a business owner, which not everyone might be, but even if you're not, right, like we get into owning our own business because we want to be the masters of our own destiny, not because we want to work someone else's job. And I think the workplace in general is changing nowadays to accommodate for that for employees as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So you also mentioned storytelling. Mm-hmm. And I get a lot of people have questions, you know, what does that actually mean? We work with a lot of marketing professionals at law firms. We also work with a lot of lawyers directly. So what does it mean to a lawyer to say you have to use storytelling in your marketing?
People tend to have a more gut response and to remember stories more than they do facts and figures. And for us, that means that when a potential client, let's say, asks us a question, it can be, is this service right for me? They want me to tell them that. And of course, I can just say, yes, I mean, these are all the benefits and these are all the features. But instead, if I tell them a story about a similar client or a similar person who had hired us and how it changed their life or affected them or made them feel better, then I think that gives them more of an impact than me listing off features or product benefits or anything of that sort. So that's one way. For us, we went through two different courses, actually. So I took, Seth Godin has a workshop for storytelling and how to construct a story. And so I took that to try and get better at it. And then we also took another workshop or course on telling our client story. So we use that to come back to define who we're speaking to when we create content, right? We're like, oh, well, we're talking to Mike and Mike is married and has a professionally licensed job and he owns, you know, a couple pieces of investment real estate and he dreams of a time when he's not working anymore so that he and his family can go on vacation all the time or, you know, whatever it might be. And so we use it in the background as well. Whenever we create content, it's not as though we're always telling stories, but we use it to refer back to make sure we're on track and we're speaking to the correct person that we want to speak to.
I love it. So in marketing terms, that's called a user or buyer persona, basically. So you're building stories to fit different personas that are your potential clients or clients. That's excellent. Fantastic. I wish more lawyers understood that concept.
Well, it sure would, but I think it can be scary, right? Because you don't want to say no to people or you can be worried about people rejecting your story, right? Saying like, oh, well, I'm not that person, so I guess I'm not the right person to hire your firm. And that can be nerve-wracking, but at the same time, it is freeing and makes us all happier, I think, to not work with those people. If they can self-select and be like, I hate you, and be like, great, go talk to somebody else.
Yeah.
We probably won't work well together.
I agree. And, you know, another thing that comes to mind when you were just talking is, you know, I like the approach that you guys are taking because one of the things I often hear from clients is at the end of the day, they don't really care what the lawyer does. They care about what the lawyer can do for them. So when you frame things in a story and basically tell clients or prospective clients how you currently help your clients and have you been able to help your clients, and you know, what is the process that you take? What are some of the results that you can achieve? I think that to me is a lot more impactful than listing all your qualifications or, you know, even a list of clients, but really getting to the bottom of like, hey, this is, you know, this is how we help our clients.
Yeah, I agree. I hadn't thought about it in exactly that way. I think people also just feel heard more, like they feel a little bit more understood if you can relate it back to a story, which I think is important.
Absolutely. So can you give me maybe an example of how you've used storytelling in your content marketing?
Sure. We have two videos on our website, and in that we tell our own story. Colin tells his and I tell mine about why we do what we do. And so Colin has a story about he was approaching 30, I guess, at the time. And so he had this whole bucket list of things that he wanted to accomplish, one of which was to go surfing. And he thought that he was a much better surfer than he was, and went out, I guess, a storm riding session with a friend who is just always stoked and always thinks everybody is very accomplished. And so I was encouraging him to come with him. And so Colin went out there and he got in a bad situation. He got stuck in a riptide and was being smashed against rocks on this jetty and was losing steam and didn't know what to do. And after he had climbed out of the rocks, he had kind of realized he was sitting there thinking about how he was dressed in this wetsuit. He didn't have an ID on him. I wouldn't know where he was or what he was up to or what had happened to him if something had, and how he was leaving a mess. We were newly married. A lot of our savings were in his account and I wouldn't have had access to it or know where they were. It would have taken me a lot of effort to figure it out. And so it really got him thinking about doing planning for the future and working on a plan that would make it easy for me or anyone else who might be trying to pick up the pieces if something happens to us. And so that story is on our website. There have been several potential clients who said that they watched that video and they've had similar scary situations where they really felt like it was something that they think about that has caused them to embark on a planning spree.
You mentioned earlier that you guys started by doing blogs and then you kind of migrated towards doing video. You know, what advice would you give to other lawyers? Like, should they be doing video, blogs, something else? Like, what do you think is the best tool for lawyers or medium for lawyers to tell their stories?
I think the best medium for lawyers to tell their stories is the medium that they are going to consistently do, whatever that is. I don't think it matters whether it's audio, video, blog writing. I think that as long as they're consistently going to do it because they enjoy it, that is going to be successful for them. Because there are people out there who hate watching videos and love reading blog posts. And there are people out there who will only listen to audio and they don't want to read or watch a video. And so there's someone for everyone, but as long as you're consistently doing it, I think that's the best option.
Yeah, I completely agree. And sometimes what I tell our clients is create content in whatever way you feel most comfortable, if it's written content, if it's podcasts, if it's videos, but then you can repurpose that content, right? You can take a video or a podcast, create a transcript and then convert it into a blog post, or, you know, take a video and make it into an audio podcast. So it really, you know, it's creating in the form that you feel most comfortable, but then making it available so that your audience can consume it in whatever way they prefer to consume their content.
Oh, I think that's definitely true. We take our videos and we use an app called repurpose.io, and we make transcripts from those videos and post them as blog posts, or we've taken the audio from the videos and reposted that as part of a podcast. And so we definitely do that, take advantage of that. I agree that that's definitely something to remember, that you can repurpose these things to different uses.
So one of the questions I get a lot of times from lawyers is, or what they say to me is, you know what, I'm too busy. I don't have time to create content. I'm too busy practicing law. What would you say to them?
Well, they're probably not going to have any law to practice if people can't find them. So there's that aspect of it. They can always also hire a professional if they truly are too busy or it's too overwhelming to help them with that. But in the end, marketing is going to be a very key component of their continued success as a lawyer. And whether that's in a job, and it's always nice, I think, if you're changing jobs in the future and you have loyal clients that are going to come with you, or have the ability to bring in clients for your firm. And so I think, you know, any type of marketing is going to be beneficial to you in the long run, whether you're a business owner or not. And you want to that ability and that confidence of attracting clients and people to you.
Great. Okay, Shreya. Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time. But before I let you go, is there one word of advice or a takeaway you would give to our audience?
Yeah, I would say don't try to do everything for everyone. So we were talking earlier about which medium to pick. Just pick one. Don't try and do all of them. And just do it consistently.
Great. Thank you so much for your time, Shreya. It was great to have you on the podcast today. We will have links to your website, your LinkedIn profile, your YouTube channel, and your Twitter handle on the show notes, so that if people want to get in touch with you, they're able to do so. For our audience, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, you can go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast, and there you can sign up and subscribe, as well as check out some of our great past episodes. Shreya, thank you again for your time. It's been great having you on the show, and maybe we'll have you back sometime in the future.
I would love that. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great day. See you next time.